Over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Going through this section of scripture here. We'll be primarily in verse number 9 this morning. And as we've done, we're going to go ahead and read verses 1, now 1 through 9. Keep the context here of our text. So we see exactly the whole foundation of the verse number 9 coming to play here in this text. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then verse 9 will be our text this morning. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes." And we looked at that, and that "as newborn babes," I believe, applies to those things there in that first verse, as well as the latter. But being sincere, as newborn babes are, laying aside these things that us adults oftentimes pick up. And oh, how we complicate things in life, do we not? As we go through things and we pick things up and just muddies our life, makes everything complicated. So much so that we get to the place we don't even know which way to turn because things are so complicated, so different than a newborn babe. Amen. A newborn babe is just laying there, doesn't know a whole lot, kind of functions as it does, and mom and dad help out, primarily mom, amen, and feed the baby and burp and change diapers and give a good arrangement there to sleep and all that. But the sincerity there, the simplicity of that life, amen. And by the way, as a Christian, our lives should be pretty simple, amen. We should be very careful that we do not complicate life to become something God never meant it to be. Anyway, as newborn babes, watch this. This is a command here. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The primary means by which you will grow as a Christian will be by studying, reading, applying the word of God as the Holy Spirit guides you in that. Amen. Verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Now, we spent much time in all those previous verses. If reading through you there, you have any question about any of that, you can find that online on our website. You can listen to those particular messages. If you still have issue, please come see me. We'll talk through it. Amen. Beautiful portion of scripture. Jesus Christ is that chief cornerstone. Many have disallowed. Many have rejected. Doesn't change anything. He's still the chief cornerstone. To thus us who have believed, he is precious. He's amazingly precious. We've sung about him today. We've sung about his blood. We've testified and sung and just talked about the different things going on to exalt his wonderful personage, as well as the gospel message for which he died for it. We're having a gospel meeting, there's thousands of dollars, really hundreds of hours being put in, if not approaching 1,000 hours be put into that work. Why? Because he's worthy. Amen. He's worthy. The message needs to go out. He died for all that. We just pray that all would be saved. And we know some have not been saved. Some will not be saved. But we look for those that will. Amen. And he's not willing that any would perish. Amen. And so we reach out for his cause and for their good. Amen. Nonetheless, some will stumble at the word. Some will be disobedient. It doesn't change anything. God is still God. He's still coming. Amen. And we love him. Praise the Lord. Verse number 9. But ye are, this is those of us that do believe, those of us that have accepted him, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. We thank you for this time together. I thank you for the good song service that we've had already, Lord, and the time that we've had to just come together and really just bask in thy glory. God, you've been so good to us, Lord. And as was mentioned in prayer a moment ago, and even though mankind seeks to really mess everything up, God, that you've given to us to be stewards over, God, you still care. You still reach out. And God, you're still a soul-saving, life-altering, life-changing God. And we thank you for that. Thank you, dear God, for everyone in this room that's already trusted you as personal Savior and has turned from their wicked ways. And God has been born again. And yet for others that may not be saved at this point, God, I pray that they would hear a clear presentation of the gospel today. Amen. God, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for this portion of Scripture. Help us to see some things this morning that'll be a help to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to take each of these couple things that says here that ye are as believers, and then we'll bring all that together to then see what we should be doing together about it. And in verse number 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation. What this is referring to is the fact that chosen would mean to select, that you've been selected for this time frame, a chosen generation. You were born into this time frame, which then puts you in the same time frame as others, and then which allows for us to group together. Amen. A chosen generation. And I know there's multiple generations in a sense represented here, but in another broader sense, we're all part of this generation. Amen. We're all here. We're all alive. And we've been chosen for this generation, this time frame. You didn't select this time. I don't recall anyway, being able before I was born. I don't think I existed. Amen. But I had no say-so about me being born today. Some say I think I would have been better off if I was born about 100 or 200 years ago. I would have fit better in that environment. Well, if you don't like indoor plumbing, amen, that might be for you. If you like horses, amen, that might be good. If you want to be born a few hundred years even before that, the Dark Ages, if you don't like to read, all of you that say I hate reading, that would have been a perfect time. So you might think for you in that time frame. Whole lot of other things came with that though, amen. Regardless of what time frame we think we would have fit better in, for whatever reason, God chose to put us on earth today. In this time frame, with everything going on around us, amen, this is our generation. This is the time that we get to live, amen. Now, as far as ye are a chosen generation, how do we partake in that aspect of, because there's a lot of people living today that are not part of this chosen generation as actually being referred to. This is being selected not just for the time frame we live, but actually selected to help God in this process to get the word out and to do our part. We're chosen for a task, not just chosen for a time frame, but also for a task. What does it take to be part of God's chosen generation? First, it requires that you live on earth at this present time. As far as I can tell, we're all in that same boat. Amen. We're all here. You're all, it looks like you're upright. You're breathing. You're alive in this generation. Amen. So, point number one checked, we're all alive on earth in this present time. Secondly, though, to be part of God's chosen generation, you must be a child of God. You must be born again. There had to be a time in your life where you came out of the world, you recognized that you were a sinner, that Jesus Christ, those couple thousand years ago, came to earth and died for you, that you might be rescued from you, that you might be rescued from your present distress, which was sin. Amen. The wages of sin is death. Left in our sinful state, everyone goes to that same place, which is a place called hell. Not really made for you, made for the devil and his angels, but yet you become a partaker of if you reject the gospel. The gospel literally means the good news. Amen. The bad news is that those that don't accept receive a wage that they're not going to like. Amen. But it is just. It is due. God has made a way, good news, for you to be rescued, for you to be delivered, amen, for you to be saved, amen. And for all that have believed the gospel, all that have believed in Jesus Christ, by the way, there's all kinds of archaeological evidence that point to that, all kinds of evidence that we could study up, pull out from historians, whether it's Eusebius or Josephus and all these different ones. We can look back and see the historical account. We can look back and see all kinds of things, but at the end of the day, you're not going to get saved because you're convinced by the textbook. You're not going to get saved because you're convinced through some archaeological record. Oh, yeah, Jesus did exist. And by the way, it's well proven he did. You're going to get saved because the very word of God is preached to you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that truly Jesus Christ wasn't just a man that walked this earth. He's very, very God incarnate, amen. He is deity. He is God the Son. He walked this earth. He came to this earth. He was born into this world for you and I, not because he was a sinner, but because he saw that you and I had a need and we could not save ourselves. We don't get saved by good works. We don't get saved by joining the church. We don't get saved by going through the baptismal waters. We get saved 100% by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, amen. Nothing doubting. All of my faith, all of my hope is in Jesus Christ, not in another, amen. As the Word of God details what Jesus Christ has done. And if you're saved, you're saved that same way. And if you're not saved, it's because you haven't come to that place yet where you agree with God that He's right. And that you need a Savior. His name's Jesus. Jesus did everything necessary on earth, died on the cross, went in the grave, 3 days later rose from the dead, amen, gloriously as he predicted, prophesied that he would do, took his own blood up to the mercy of God in heaven, and he made a propitiation or an offering there for you and I, amen. And now he is our high priest, amen, and he is our advocate that has sent people like me your way so that you hear what he has done. All throughout the time frame of the world, there has been a move to extinguish people like you and I, amen, so the message stops. It hasn't happened. It won't happen. We mentioned the dark ages. They tried then to snuff it all out, amen, but it only grew. Why? Because God's involved, and you're not going to stamp it out when God's involved. Just like Gamaliel told the council there in reference to Peter and John, if this thing be of God, you can't overthrow it, amen, and truly it's not going to be overthrown, but one day, mark it down, amen, as the scriptures indicate, The believers are leaving this planet, and you'll be left unto yourself. There'll be another witness coming, but you've already heard, amen, and you're going to receive great delusion that you'll believe a lie. Today is that day of salvation. We don't want to put it off, amen. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. God is still speaking, amen, to you and I today, and I think that is good. We should take advantage of that. Now, if you've accepted salvation, you've accepted what he's done, you're born today, you've accepted that, you've been born again, you are part of this chosen generation in the right place at the right time, born again, equipped by God's grace to do that which otherwise would be impossible, amen, to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not just you and I that have been part of a chosen generation. You think back, by the way, Adam and Eve were part of a chosen generation for what they were involved in, all that took place there. There were some things God ordained in that. Noah and his family, boy, everybody else on earth in that time frame, there's estimated to be millions of people alive at the time. It's 1,656 years after creation that the floodwaters actually came. What a position and a place to be in. I don't know if that would have been a good one to be in or not. Noah was definitely an oddity, amen. His family, a little bit different. And what they were called to do was heckled. They were mocked, all those things. But he was faithful for those 120 years, even before that. He did what God called him to do. His family was delivered as that ark was then raised up above the floodwaters that killed the rest, amen. And we find he was part of a chosen generation then as well. Abraham and Sarah, part of a chosen generation to be called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, amen, and actually be the beginnings of that family that ultimately Jesus Christ would come through. We have Abraham and then Isaac and then Jacob. Then, of course, Judah. Christ would come through Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah. You have Joseph, tremendous man of God used. He went through much difficulty, but he was part of that chosen generation. And he went from the pit that he was thrown into and the dungeon and the prison house and all those different things, slave in Potiphar's house. He went through all that to be risen up to second command in Egypt. Tremendous story, but he was there for that time. We have to mention Esther, amen. She was definitely there for such a time as that, amen. Samson, he was there for his time. Moses and the Israelites out of the Exodus, out of Egypt, that was a time frame. John the Baptist, boy, that would have been a fun one maybe, amen, to be John the Baptist, amen, eating those locusts, amen, and wild honey and wearing the leather girdle and all that and preaching the truth, amen, not looking like anybody else but just coming forth, amen. What a tremendous time frame that would have been. He was no doubt in a chosen generation. The disciples, the apostles of Jesus' day, that would have been tremendous, amen, to have walked with Christ and to have experienced all those things with Christ. And then, of course, very, very traumatic time through the crucifixion and then on from there. But nonetheless, that was a chosen generation. I think of Joseph of Arimathea. He was one, we don't talk about a whole lot, but he played a very large role in the tomb and different things as a disciple there. He was used greatly. Paul and Timothy, and then even go on beyond that to like a Polycarp or Eusebius. All these different ones were used mightily of God through in their generations. I think of Tyndale and Wycliffe in their time frames when it seemed like everything was going the wrong way. They were being used in a sense. One in a castle, kind of kept there in a room so that they wouldn't find him and destroy him and all the work that he was doing and bringing about the word of God, amen, to where we give even part credit, amen, for what we have in our hands to this day, how God absolutely preserved his word through these men, amen, tremendous times. I think of a John Clark and even a Roger Williams, how they were used greatly on our soil to help deliver to us what we have today in the freedoms that we still have. And I know many of them being eroded, and it seems like we're on the fast track down the wrong way, amen. But God has been good. God has been at work. I think of a Schubel Stearns, who can be credited really with the preacher who would then bring about getting saved as a new light and coming out of the Congregationalist church and all that. And then hundreds of preachers after him. And then we would accredit the Bible Belt to him, Samuel Harrison, Virginia Lewis Craig, and coming through the Cumberland Gap and opening up things there in what would really be more where we're at today through Kentucky, of course, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Indiana, and Isaac McCoy. All these different people that were used in their time frames for that time and for God's business at that place, amen, and in that point in time. I think of people like even our own parents and grandparents, how they were used in our own individual lives to bring about us to where we are at today and help form us to be the people that we are today. Many of y'all had parents and grandparents that preached the gospel to you. Some of us didn't. And yet we're all gathered here together as a group, kind of put together by God in such a time as this. We are a chosen generation. It isn't the time that we sit and find a big old hole in the ground, amen, to run and hide our head in, amen. It's not the time to open a door and run in the closet that's been vacated by the sodomite community, amen. It is not the time that we just go and find some place out in some far out land, though tempted, amen, to find some acreage somewhere, amen, somewhere where nobody else is. It's not that time, amen. We are a chosen generation for this time to lift up the banner of Jesus Christ and say, thus saith the Lord. And he is still speaking today, amen. And yes, others are speaking. And yes, others are trying to drown out the message, amen. But God is still speaking, and he will continue to speak till he come, amen. And then he'll do the speaking. And when he does the speaking, it will slay. It will slay all the Christ rejectors at the battle of Armageddon, amen. The blood will flow unto the horse's bridle in that day. But it need not be so for you. You can be part of this chosen generation with those of us that have also already accepted Christ and have lifted up that banner and chosen to be a part. Amen. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Ye are a chosen generation. The world wants to assimilate you into its soup. But God has chosen you to rise up out of the muck and the mire and to be separated unto him for a greater cause. God has chosen you in this generation to represent him and to carry his gospel to the world. All of us, not just me as the preacher, all of us that are born again, all of us that are alive in this time frame have this opportunity and this responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that man there is a general term, meaning man or woman, anyone, any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'm so thankful for a fresh start, amen. Man, did I mess my life up. I was an absolute mess, amen. When I came into this church and heard the gospel for the first time a lot of years ago, amen. I was a mess, amen. I'm so thankful that when I got saved, that God hasn't reminded me and continued to remind me every day of who I was and what I had done. I'm so thankful that when I got saved and got forgiven, amen, all those things are under the blood. and he made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. That's what God does. He saves us. He changes us. He makes us new. He gives us a new purpose. He gives us a new name. He hooks us up with a new group. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That old group I used to run with wouldn't work. Amen. Unless they get saved first. The point is that all things now for us are become new. And it says that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He saved us. We're alive in this generation. He reconciled, made everything right, made it right. Now we're part of his work, and he gives us a ministry of reconciliation. Say, what is that? That's simply just telling people what Jesus Christ has done for them, that they also might be saved, so that they can be reconciled just like you were reconciled. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's the word. That's the Bible. That's why we're so big on this book. Amen. It's the word of God. We don't make these things up. We don't alter it. We just preach it. Amen. We don't try to change it. Why would we want to change it? It's God's word. It doesn't need changing. Amen. It doesn't need fixed. It's perfect. Amen. And so we just preach it. And it says, and then verse number 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And by the way, he's not going to leave us stranded in some country without help. Amen. Hallelujah for that. He's an ever-present help in time of need. Amen. It says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We're carrying forth his message. We are representing him. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Those that aren't. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not only have you become part of this chosen generation to represent God and carry his gospel, you have been made part of God's royal priesthood. That's next in our text. It says you're a chosen generation, and it says you are a royal priesthood. I really like this part. Amen. A royal priesthood, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Royal shows a family connection to the king's family, and it denotes a devotion to that family. The Lord is King of Kings. Amen. He is Lord of Lords. We just saw that in Revelation chapter 17 as we're studying that on Wednesday nights. He is the King overall. Amen. And I know right now the Prince of the Air is allowed to have some movement and some authority here on earth, and it's revealing the hearts of mankind as it was intended to do. And yet God, who's allowing what's going on, has a planned time frame where he's coming again, amen. And he's going to take his rightful place on the throne right here on earth, literally, amen, not figuratively. And he is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years right here on this soil, amen. We're going to be in heaven for a little time. We're coming back with Jesus. And we will rule and reign with him back on this earth for those 1,000 years. And he is king. He will take his proper place in that aspect. He is a family of royalty, God is, amen. And we've joined into that. Once we're saved, we are now a royal, showing our kingly connection, priesthood, showing our priestly connection. A priesthood is a sacerdotal order. It's an order that actually sacrifices or does religious, we would use the term religious, but does things of an offering sort to our God, to our King, and that's our Father. And so we have a kingly connection, and we have a priestly connection. We are part of a priestly fraternity, if you will. We are brothers and sisters connected together by family and also by order. By family in a royal connection with our kingly line, but also now by order with our priesthood, with our responsibility. Amen. If you have been part of a close-knit group for a particular task, you understand the connection that it produces. I see sometimes, it seems anyway, in Christianity, there's a lot of things that are kind of fragmented. Amen. And we're supposed to strive, Ephesians says, for the unity of the saints. Amen. in the bond of peace. We are to be together, not separated. Amen. We have something to accomplish. We're family, amen, that are born again and together. We are part of a fraternal order, yes, but we are family, amen. We're royalty together, amen. And so those who have been maybe in the military have experienced a sense of a fraternal connection. And those that have fought together, served together, lived together in that environment, they're really well connected. And even though they would come home, there would still be that connection. I felt some of that when I worked at ATA Airlines for those almost 20 years. That connection that still exists with some of those guys because we worked together. We were in danger together all over the world, amen, working on airplanes and stuff. And so that was together. So that connection is there. I know I've talked to Ryan before and different ones in line work. They kind of have that. There's a danger to their job. They're relying on each other. They're working together like John's out now. They'll go out on these long trips together. There's a connection there. But while there is a connection there, they lack what we have in the sense of a royal connection. A royal kingly connection with our Savior who has brought us and adopted us in. He's joined us into his family. We have a kingly connection. We have a fraternal connection through the priesthood. Amen. By the way, in large biological families, there should be a fraternal order in a sense in that context. They're actually part of the same family. And they feel that connection together as well. So we understand how this works, but this absolutely should be who we are as a church as well. In Christ, we are part of God's family. We are part of God's royal family. We are part of what our Father, the King of all creation, we're part of his family. Amen. Our Father's a king. And since our Father is a king, now we as his children have kingly responsibilities. In Revelation 1:6, it says this, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. God has made us kings under him, our king. Amen. So we have kingly responsibility. Not only do we have kingly responsibility, we also have been made priests, so we also have a priestly responsibility. Once you're saved, you're now part of a chosen generation in this time frame by God to carry out his will, carrying his message to the world. As a Christian, you've also become part of God's family. You have a kingly connection. And as a saint, you also have connection in a fraternal sense because of the priestly connection. The kingly responsibility is to keep order in the kingdom by God's word. That's what the king's family does, sets the order. Used to be, whoever was king even determined what the measurement standard would be. And it was his elbow to his fingertip became a cubit. And that became a rule of measurement. The king decided all rules, everything, all boundaries, all laws, all everything. And for us, that is also true. We are now part of that. And we work together. We keep these things accountable and proper and right. We have a kingly responsibility. By the way, we don't have a kingly responsibility at this point to push that on the world, though some Protestants in the past have thought to do so. And the Puritans and all that, they would actually try to enforce God's law on all, amen. That is not for this time, though there is some aspects that we would bring forth, not in that sense, not in a theocracy standpoint. We're not to live in a theocracy at this point, though we should have influence in the governmental structure. Nonetheless, amongst ourselves, we should absolutely, and in our local church, we should absolutely keep things ordered. The polity, right, we have a kingly responsibility. We're also to promote the king's word and judgment in the kingdom. And so we would absolutely go forth and we would offer God's judgment, God's opinion to all. Amen. We are bringing forth God's opinion, God's word, God's judicial mandate, which will come in the future. We're also to call out and fight against all enemies of the king. Again, in a right way, not in a wrong way. We bring forth the word of God. Truly our battle is, it's not really ours, it's the Lord's. But we're not to cower down and back down in these things. We should at least stand up and promote Christ and promote the word and fight the kingdom of darkness. Amen. By the way, a lot of things coming in public schools and all of this, all these things coming up with critical racism theory. That's what it is. Amen. They're promoting racism once again. They're segregating once again. Amen. We need to fight that. We need to fight all these different things with the abortion side, all that. Why? Because these are things that are totally against God in general for our society and mankind and us bringing forth the word of God. We should battle these things in a proper way and in a right way and with a right heart, ultimately desiring all to be born again. So we have a kingly responsibility, and we've been given authority in this regard. We also have a priestly responsibility to where we offer sacrifices in God's temple, which is our body, physical body, local church. We offer sacrifices. First, we offer our own bodies as a living sacrifice, Romans 12 says. And then we offer sacrifices of praise to God continually. Oh, that God's people would stop offering complaint for sacrifice, but instead offer praise. Amen? We got enough, like, things to complain about, amen, by everybody else. They could take care of all that. Right. You know what I found? If all you do is find the bad side, man, it just really affects you. Amen? God's given me richly all things to enjoy. Not that I live in some fantasy world, but I live in God's world, amen? And I love seeing God's hand work. And I like pointing that out. I think we, as God's people, should strive to be better at offering the sacrifice of God in the area of praise. Praise to God continually. Praise His holy name. I am so thankful for what God has done in my life. I'm thankful for what He's done in many of your all's lives that I know about. I'm thankful for where we're at today. I'm thankful for all the challenges. I am thankful for God. Amen. And I want to offer those praises. It's my responsibility as a priest for God to offer the sacrifice of praise. We've never been told to offer the sacrifice of complaint. And by the way, if you have a complaint, go in your closet, shut the door, and complain to God. Amen. Psalms reveals to us that's absolutely where we should complain. Talk to God about it. Amen. And He'll help you. Don't you run around spreading fear because of everything going on around here in our world today. Don't be a fear monger. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. Right. Amen? So, well, don't you know what's going on? I sure do. God's at work. Amen. Don't you know what the enemy's doing? You can talk about the enemy all you want. You can be their news source all you want. I'm going to be the news source for God. God is at work. God is putting up a gospel tent here in a couple weeks. Amen? So I'm going to promote that. And I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care who they are. Amen? I just want to preach the gospel. I want to talk about what God is doing, not about everything that's happening in the world that we know is going to happen anyway. Have you read the end of this book? It's coming. Why are we surprised? What are we going to do? Ask God what you should do, amen? I guarantee you this, it ain't to spread fear. It ain't to run around thinking, oh, what are we going to do? Chicken Little, amen? That's not who we are, amen. We're God's people. We're royal. We're royalty. We have a kingly line, amen. And we're not going to act like the king of Afghanistan and run and hide. I'm not saying he's right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm just saying as God's people, that's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to promote His kingdom till He come. Amen. We're to offer the sacrifice of good works. We're to offer the sacrifice of obedience in God's service, His structure, and in His church. We have a job to do. It says that ye are, not only are we a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation. This is great, amen. Holy means physically pure, morally blameless, ceremonially consecrated. It means being set aside for His work. We are a holy people for God. We should march to a different drum beat, amen, if you believe in drums. We should do things differently. I'm not saying we should have drums here, that's for sure. The point is this, is that God is the one who gives us our marching orders. God is the one that's told us what to do, no matter what's happening. We're not just a well-equipped army for God in the good times, and then when the hard times hit, we run for the hills, amen. We are God's people, and we are a holy nation. The word nation there means race or tribe. It's ethnos is the actual word behind that. That's who we are. We are part of God's family. We are a different group. We are a different tribe. This world is not our home. Amen. As the song says, we're just passing through. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look over here in verse number 15. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15. As we represent God in this time frame, chosen generation, as we receive the understanding that we have a part of a kingly line and a priestly order, by the way, that should do something to you. That should give you legitimacy, not a connection to the world, but a connection with God if you're born again. Amen. We don't just do what the world does. It's not what God has called us to. It's not expedient. Amen. We are not only a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation. We're a peculiar people. If you look just like the rest of the world, you're not peculiar. Right. And you're not holy. If you're in a lineup amongst the world, no one can pick you out as different. Amen. Something's wrong. Woohoo! Amen to that. You see what I'm saying? We're supposed to come out of the world and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and God will receive us and be a father unto us. Amen. We should be different. Our children should be different. Our church should be different. Amen. We should be a peculiar people, not strange in the sense of weird and all that. There are some aspects of strange maybe we should be. Amen. But the reality is that God has called us to be different. If you go out and look at what's out there going on today, if you're not any different than all that, something's wrong. If there's any time in history, there's a point to where you could say, God's people should stand out. It's right now. Amen? In how we act, in what we talk about, in how we look, in where we go, in what we do, in how we train our families, and how we praise God, and how our church operates, it should be a big difference. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Say, it just doesn't say that in the Bible. I just read it. It says it right here. In all manner of conversation. Well, that's your interpretation. Well, how do you interpret it? It says in all manner of conversation. Conversation, it's your whole manner of life. Amen. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Why does it say that? Because now we're part of his family. We're part of God's family. We are connected now as his sons and daughters. He is our father. He is a king. We are representing him. And so we're to be as he is. We're ambassadors. We're not standalone individuals anymore. We weren't before, but in a different way. But we are now part of God. We're part of Christ. We're in Christ. Amen. God's nation is a holy nation. His tribe, if you will, is a holy tribe. I mentioned Romans 12:1 earlier, that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Ephesians 1 says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And Ephesians 5:27 mentions that Jesus Christ he's actually presenting us as a church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The four-letter word holy is not a bad four-letter word. It is a good four-letter word. We should strive to be as God is. That's what holy is. Amen. Since God's family is a royal family, we've been given kingly responsibility. We've been given priestly responsibility. We've been called to be holy. Amen. As Christians, we represent our kingly royal family, and we should do it in a proper way. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8 actually says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. In Proverbs 14:34, it says, righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. Look back at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read our text, verse 9, and then conclude by reading through verse 12 to show how this all fits together this morning. Can I say, if you're born again and you're alive today, you're to be part of what God is doing today. And we have kingly responsibility. We have priestly responsibility and opportunity. No one else has these opportunities. And to do so, we're going to have to be holy. We're going to have to be different than the world. We're going to have to think differently than the world. We're going to have to do differently than the world. We're going to have to lead people differently than the world would. We're going to have to train people differently. We're going to have church differently than the world would have church. We're going to have to be different. We're going to have to be godly. We are chosen to this. We have a responsibility in this, amen, to accomplish God's purpose. 1 Peter chapter 2 now, verses 9 through 12. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, verse 11 says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That day of visitation for them hopefully comes sooner rather than later. The reality is that every person at some point is going to have to deal with God. I came to that place when I was 25 and I saw what God had done for me. I saw my wicked life and I was a sinner and I kneeled before him. I yielded to him. And I said, God, not my will, but thine be done. I accepted what Jesus Christ did for me. I accepted his indictment against me as a sinner. And I trusted in what he had done for my soul salvation. I accepted him as my Savior. In doing so, I rejected me. I rejected my life. At that day, I remember it vividly. That's the day I kneeled before him. But do you know that there's many people that refuse to kneel before God on this planet? And yet one day, God says that every knee shall bow before him. And that they will have, they're going to get called up, death and hell will deliver up the dead that are in them. And every person will come before God. And God will, being proper, will look through the book to see if their name is found in the book of life. And they'll find that spot that their name could have been, but it's not. I believe their name was blotted out upon their unbelief. And they're blotted out of the book. And God will open the book and they'll go to that place that your name should be. But it's not there because you rejected that day of visitation, the day that God visited you, you sent him away. The day that God came to you and knocked on your heart's door, you said, no thank you, and you sent him away. Well, one day there'll be another visitation, the day that you stand before him, but on that day there'll be no mercy. On that day there'll be no salvation. There'll just be punishment. There'll just be the fitting end. The wages of sin is death. And they'll look down and they'll find the spot that your name should have been, but it's blotted out. And on that day, you will be cast then into outer darkness in the lake of fire, where you'll then have to then spend the rest of your eternity suffering in a manner that you should have never had to have suffered if you just would have embraced Christ, you see. That day of visitation. This passage says that you and I as believers in this generation have a large role to play in reference to others being saved. People aren't going to get saved because you look like them, act like them, talk like them, love the same music they love. People aren't going to get saved today because you pull up a bar stool beside them at the bar and drink the same whiskey they drink. People aren't going to get saved because you like the same things they like or because you're friends with them on social media. People are going to get saved because they see a difference in you and they ask you the question, why are you different? And then you have a platform to say, well, look, what happened to me was back when I was 25 years old, I came. I had a good job, had a good career, but there was a big old empty spot in my soul, and Jesus Christ filled it. Amen. And this is how he filled it. This is how people get saved today. Amen. And you and I are a big part. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal, kingly priesthood. We have an order in the priesthood of fellowship, a fraternal order. We are a holy nation. We are different and we are peculiar. We are a peculiar people on purpose by God because it's gonna show the world that there's the people right there that can help me. This is how God has made it. This is how God has put it together. Don't reject it. Embrace it. If you're a child of God today, embrace what this passage says. And if you're lost today, oh, my friend, the day of visitation has come. Let God save your soul. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. Oh, God, how we have a purpose as your people today in this time frame. A chosen generation, oh, God, we have a role to play as a kingly line through you, God, royal blood flowing through our veins. We're children of God. We have a priestly role to play, dear God. We offer sacrifices to you. And oh God, how we're to be a holy nation, a different people, a righteous people, a people with good works not done by ourselves but by Christ who lives within us. We can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. Dear God, help us, Lord, not to be ashamed to be different. And God, help us, Lord, to be okay with being peculiar in this day that we live. We may not fit in, but God, we have something the world needs. That's Jesus Christ. God, help us, Lord, in this area. For those that are lost, please, Lord, I pray they be saved today now as they come. We pray this in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.